Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You want the truth, Agent Mulder? You've come to the right place.
Welcome back, everybody, to the X-Cast. The truth is in here. I'm Tony Black, your host, and we are looking at, for a final time, thank God, the Season 10, Episode 5 story, Babylon. And this is the episode right before the finale, so we're going to be today talking about the man who is responsible for all this, and responsible is probably the right word, Chris Carter. But to do that, I'm joined for a final time in this look at Season 10 coverage by Andrew Brooker.
Yeah, responsible is definitely the word. he needs to own this. He really does.
He needs to take all the responsibility. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not fair if he doesn't. So we've spent the last two episodes talking about how we didn't like Babylon at all, and that opinion hasn't really changed, if I'm honest. It was shared by our old mate Zach Moore at Moore on Zach, who is behind the Always Hold On to Smallville podcast, which you can find at Always Smallville. And he said this week, he sent several tweets in which he said, firstly, complete nonsense. The X-Files babies angle with Miller and Einstein was bad, in capitals. The Islamophobia was bad. The Texas stereotypes was bad. Wasting the lone gunman being wasted in a 2-second cameo was bad. It was all just so bad. What was Chris Carter thinking? And he says, I seriously think this is one of the worst episodes of the entire series. It's just mind-boggling that they'd use one of the six for this. And he puts this in capitals.
Yeah.
I have to also add that our other friend Matt Laven, who runs the bottle episode, when I did ask people about what they thought of Babylon, he decided to send me a link to the song Babylon by David Gray.
I'm not a David Gray fan, like, at all.
Nor is he. He's just a knob.
I'd still rather listen to that than watch this episode for a third time.
True, actually, yeah, thinking about it. Thanks, Latham. Yeah, that was a better use of time. But yeah, I think Zach is completely on the money. I mean,
I think he's got it spot on. I mean, yeah. I do tend to worry when I watch shows like that, because I don't take it personally, but I get very, very angry at really blatant Islamophobia. But I try and I don't keep it to myself, but I try to like not have arguments and bring it up in discussion. Yeah. But mainly because there is a point to it in this episode. It's a badly made point and could have been made much better in a million different ways. But you can't have arguments about Islamophobia with people. You just can't. Not in this day and age.
No, not right now. Not in this climate. No.
But I do think it was ham-fisted. It was really badly handled. It was disrespectful and racist.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, it's not my soapbox, so I'll
no, well, it's all our soapbox, because you know, we're the ones who've been subjected to this. And I think we've said this before, but I think he makes the point well when he says, you know, I can't believe you did this in six episodes, you know, and that underscores it at all, you know. Even if you don't think there must have been a better idea on the table. I mean, this is the problem, right? We said we're going to talk about Chris Carter. Now, we've held off talking about Chris Carter. His hand obviously will have been through this entire miniseries. He wrote My Struggle. He's doing the teleplay for My Struggle 2. The story is with Margaret Fearon and Simon, and we'll talk about that next week when obviously it airs. So he's written three episodes of this. So he's responsible for half of this from the writing and directing perspective. So half of it, literally half of this series, is all him. The rest of it, he will have had a hand in. And it's fair to say that the best three episodes are the ones that he's not involved in.
Yep.
And you know, I think even Home Again, in some respects, is better than My Struggle. My Struggle will be fondly remembered, and I really enjoyed My Struggle, but it was mainly because Mulder and Scully were back, and they could have just danced around with bags on their heads for an hour, yeah, and we would have been happy.
I agree with you completely. What will be interesting actually is once My Struggle 2 airs, and you know, give it a couple of months, you know, the next time I've got a couple of days off, I'm, you know, you sit and do, it's four and a half hours back to back for all six episodes. I can do that in a day. I would be interested to see if once it's finished, if I still feel the same way going back to it. I think the excitement would still be there because it's the X-Files.
Yeah.
You know, but with my rose-tinted glasses off a little bit, I think it won't be the same experience. No. Certainly not now.
Well, exactly. And it will be interesting long way down the road when the X-Cast gets to these episodes. We're talking a few years, by which point season 11, touch wood, will have come round.
I don't know. I mean, be honest, mate. After this...
Do you want any more?
do we really want them to fuck up another half a season?
Well, the thing is, I suppose the way I'm looking at it is, I would rather have bad X-Files in my life than no X-Files. And as awful as that sounds, you know, I've waited so long for this show to come back on TV.
I would agree with that to a point, but what we just watched...
this wasn't just bad, though. I mean, this is the point. This was dreadful. And, you know, that's what Zach is saying. This isn't just the worst episode of this miniseries. This is one of the worst episodes of the entire show. And and I really think that will be borne out in time. I think people will, when you get new fans, you know, Marathon, like it'd be interesting to see, actually, to mention Matt Latham again. He's just bought the box set and he's starting them from the beginning. He's never watched them before. And he messages me every now and then and says, oh, I've seen this one. He watched Ice recently and loved it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, which quite rightly, because it's a great episode. But it will be interesting to see what he thinks of Babylon by the time you... And I would put money on him thinking that this is one of the worst episodes of the entire show when he's sat down. He'll be able to do this a lot quicker than everybody else. He'll be able to get to the end of season 10 fast, effectively. Not like us. And it'll be interesting to see when people like that, new people come at it, I really think Babylon will be in the bottom 10 of this entire show. And so we're on a different level to bad here. And that's the big thing. This just... I don't know if anything else has been bad, per se, in this show, in this season.
No, not bad. Bit rubbish, you know, when we talk about... No, not even a bit rubbish, you know. And I do, you know, thinking about it more, since we talked about it previously, I have forgiven Home Again a lot more. And I think by the end of talking to you about it, it was just nothing more than... It's two very, very good episodes crammed into one.
Yeah, your opinion had thawed a bit, hadn't it, by the end of those three
episodes? Yeah, mainly because I had somebody to talk to about it.
But I don't know about you, I don't feel any different about Babylon. If anything, I feel worse now.
Yeah, the thing is, it's been really nice, actually, these last couple of weeks. I watch it the day we get it, so it airs on Monday night, doesn't it? So I get it on the Tuesday morning, so I watch it Tuesday night. And then I watch it again. Literally, I hit stop and then come on to record with you.
That's good. It's a good system.
You know, it works quite well. And it means it's fresh in my mind when we sit and talk about it. And Home Again, you know, after watching it twice and then sitting talking about it a bit, I will happily go back and watch it again with my expectations lowered, obviously, because we said this before, because we had the issue with the name and the general disappointment. But this one, there are several episodes that I just skip when I binge X-Files. This will definitely be one of them.
Yeah,
I don't think I'll ever watch it again.
No, I will try. I might watch it once more just to see to pick up certain things in it, you know. But I won't make any, you know, effort to watch it again. You know, it's Chris Carter has done a mix of episodes really on his own. You know, one of the things I put in my written review was how a prevailing maxim amongst fans is that Chris Carter is only as good as the writer that he writes with. And there are certain exceptions to this. You know, he did some good. He's done some good episodes. You know, I'll reel off a few good examples. Deep Throat, going back far back. Yeah. Darkness Falls, The Erlenmeyer Flask, which is a fantastic script. You know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Dwayne Barry, which he directed as well, which was a phenomenally good piece of television. You know, Irresistible, really great episode. These are ones he did on his own. He didn't direct all of them, but he did them on his own. Triangle, which was a bit balmy, but it was fun. You know.
Yeah.
And it's telling that the further we get down the list, the worse they get. He did do some duff ones right at the beginning, you know, the Jersey Devil, Space, Fire, they're all a bit shit. But then he started to do things that were very dodgy later on. For instance, Fight Club in season 7, which is the one with Kathy Griffin and people knocking the shit out of each other.
Oh, yeah.
Which is...
Yeah, that was not a good episode.
It wasn't good, no. Then you got Improbable. In season 9, which is the Burt Reynolds as God one.
Bloody hell.
Which was so weird and just, yeah, you know. And you know, and then most of the things he's written actually have been mythology, obviously, and have been with Frank Spotnitz quite often actually,
yeah,
over the years. But his strongest work was probably towards the first few years, you know. And it's like, well, since then they started to get worse, and it was just, well, he's the gaffer, obviously, he's the boss, he's the creator, he can have that level of, you know, autonomy. But when it comes to something like this, that isn't mythology, and you know, there's an argument that he screwed that up as well with a lot of, yeah, people. I don't particularly hold to that one, because I like what they did with that, really, and I'm a defender, yeah, of the mythology. But
oh, absolutely, I enjoyed it. It does disappear up its own ass,
yeah,
but you know, when you watch it, by the time you get to the end of it, most of it makes sense, and
yeah,
it's always fun to watch.
Yeah, but I think the big question for me is, is Chris Carter really genuinely a good writer? Or has he always been saved by the people around him? Because if you think about the people who've been on The X-Files, you know, you've had Morgan and Wong, you've had Darren Morgan, you've had Vince Gilligan, Howard Gordon, Frank Spotnitz, as we've said, people who've gone on, and then you've had occasional guest writers, people like Jeffrey Bell, you know, people who've gone on to be really good creatives in all kinds of different series.
Yeah.
Were they really the reason why it was a success? More so than Chris Carter?
I would say there's a degree of truth to that. I would say to a point, yeah, absolutely. I think the ones where he has complete control over an episode and he doesn't, he's got no one to guide him, because you know, it doesn't matter who you are, you need somebody to be able to tell you no.
Yeah.
And if no one's doing that, then you are going to disappear up your own ass. Which he did do, because the ones that he wrote and directed all on his own, you know, they were the more bonkers and frankly stupider episodes.
Yeah.
You know, for the most part. Not all.
Not all of them. Know, no.
You know, I'm not going to take all of the credit away from him. You know, a lot of his episodes were very good, but most of his good episodes were mythology episodes.
Yeah, and they were written with other people. You know, we're talking, the episodes you're describing, the opposite of that are things like Redux. You know, the Redux 1 is all just monologues and internal monologues mainly, and really ponderous musings on all kinds of things. You get one decent moment where you get Kritschgau explain the alternate Cold War.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Mythology theory to Mulder, which is really good, actually. It's really well written,
yeah,
but and performed. But the rest of it is just monologue after monologue after monologue after monologue. Story doesn't go anywhere. And you just sit there thinking, well, why do you need all this? And this is part of the problem with him. And with Babylon, it exemplarizes it more so than anything else, actually. You'd think he'd have learned his lessons, but if anything, he's got worse. If you track back, the beginning, he did some really genuinely great stuff. And now, you leave him alone and he writes this.
I don't understand what was going through his head.
What, magic mushrooms, I think.
Well, yeah, I think it must have been. I mean, what else would drive you to? And you know, let's look at there are four important things happen in that dream sequence. Three of them are the lone gunman.
Oh, don't Zach hit the nail on the head here as well. I was going to bring this up. Why would you bring them back and literally not have them say anything?
If that's all you're going to do with them, leave them where they were.
I mean, you know, when I don't know about you, when it was first announced that the Lone Gunman were coming back, I think everyone started to go, oh, are they going to be back from the dead? Are they going to do what the Season 10 comics did? Or something like that, which, I don't know if anyone doesn't know what the Season 10 comics did, basically, they'd fake their deaths and they were living in a bunker underneath Arlington Cemetery, right? That was their new base. It was wacky as anything. It was Mission Impossible style wacky from the 60s, Batman style wacky. But it was fun, right? And they just about got away with it because it was a comic. You couldn't do that in the real show. But, you know, they thought, have they found a way? Because nobody wanted the lone gunman to die. It was the worst thing they could have ever done in the show.
But let's be fair. At some point next week, they have to explain how they brought Cigarette Smoking Man back.
Exactly. And obviously we see him as well, don't we, in this?
See, that's another one. He's the fourth one. Why is he there doing that? There's no reason to it at all.
I think the point of that is to show, before we see him next week, is to show that he's still in Mulder's head, and that you know, this the dark angel of his mind, the demon, still exists. So when we see him next week, we'll go, oh yeah.
But okay. The problem there is all of that entire sequence is so badly guided and just so completely out of context. I'll admit that idea didn't land with me at all.
No.
When I watched it. I just looked at it and went, okay. And this, you know, the worst bit about that actually is because I saw his name in the post titles list of guest stars. Mm. You know, also starring William B. Davis.
Yeah.
Oh, this is going to be good. No.
You know, I'm sure it was you who said this, but I remember early on when we were doing these, I'm sure it was you. It might have been Tanya, but I think it was you who said, hopefully we'll see the Smoking Man again in an episode that isn't mythology to sort of build up the tension and suspense for him coming back. Now, if you see William B. Davis in the credits, like you said, you're going to go, oh, great. Are we going to get like a tag scene or something with the Smoking Man? Is he going to be lurking in the background while, you know?
He's going to go old school and appear in Skinner's office.
Yeah, something
at
like
the
that.
End of the episode. This is going to be amazing.
Right, and then he turns up in a weird dream sequence, whipping Mulder, literally whipping Mulder, saying, you don't know what the truth is, Mulder. You know, it's like, okay, fair enough.
On some weird, wait, is it a boat?
On some sort of boat with cowl, men with cowls, with a dark sky.
Are we talking kind of River Styx kind of boat?
Yeah, maybe.
You know, this is the problem, because I quite like watching stuff like that and trying to pick apart what the director wants us to see. I find doing that quite interesting. But in this episode, I looked at it and went, I don't think even Chris Carter knows what he wants to do with it.
Yeah, or it's so obvious, it doesn't need the dramatics. It's like, yeah, we know that Smoking Man is the dark angel of the show, of Mulder's mind. Fine, okay, it's not a shocker, right? It just feels like he's there. Oh, yeah, we'll put the Smoking Man in there. It's a dream. Let's just get loads of people back for a dream. I'm surprised we didn't see Cryjet pop up, or Mr. X, or Deep Throat, you know.
God.
It wouldn't have surprised me, you know. It's just like, you know, it's just getting people back for the sake of it. And it's like, well, you know, when the Lone Gunman appeared in The Truth, the very last, as ghosts or whatever they were, you know, when X appeared and Krychek appeared, fine, okay? It was hard
another one that Chris Carter wrote, by the way.
And it was hard to swallow. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, thank you. It was hard to swallow, but, you know, you got the point, okay?
Yeah.
Whether they were in his mind or they were ghosts, whatever. With this case, it's like, I was just so disappointed. I thought the Lone Gunmen were brilliant. You know, you promised us they were going to be back, and you just have them in a fucking country western dance number.
They're probably just taking the rug right out from under us.
Yeah.
It's a horrible moment. Because, like you, I was well excited for, you know, Lone Gunmen are coming back. Doesn't matter how you bring them back.
Yeah.
Apparently it does matter how you bring them back. Yeah. But, you know, it doesn't matter how you bring them back. This is going to be great. You know, we're getting the X-Files back.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
You don't waste them. You know, and this is the thing. It just was a blatant thing where you can say beforehand, oh, yeah, the Lone Gunmen. I kept seeing on the X-Files Facebook feed, guess who's back tonight, with an image of the Lone Gunman in cowboy costume, at which point I thought, oh my God, this isn't going to be what I thought it was going to be, you know. But then they're building it up, you know, the suspense, as if to say, oh, you got to tune in for this, it's great, they're coming back. And then it's just a massive, massive, you know, trolling again of the fan base.
And yeah, that's exactly what it is.
And it's really frustrating when you've waited so long for this, it feels like a smack in the face. And to me, Babylon felt like a fuck you by Chris Carter, almost. Like a two fingers up, as if to say, I can do what the fuck I want. I've been given all this money. You all want this show back. I'm going to indulge myself. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, that's exactly how it felt.
But you should give a shit, Chris, because because people are, you know, love this show. People have tuned in to watch this show.
somehow you've managed to make two of the biggest X-Files fans go and spend the last hour ragging on you.
Yeah, yeah, and I hate doing this. I mean, you know, one of the things I'd like to think I pride the X-Cast on is being honest. You know, yeah. I will fully call out episodes of the X-Files that are shit. You know, because there are shit episodes. There's plenty of them, over 200 episodes. My God.
What are we on? 207, 208 episodes?
Yeah.
207 episodes. You're allowed to have a couple of duff episodes.
Of course you are, right? You know. There's probably a season worth of duff episodes, really, in the show. That's out of 9 series, that's fine, okay? Don't make me rag on your show when you've got 6.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
You've given us 6 episodes and you've wasted an hour of that 6 with this.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've disappointed apparently not every fan. Apparently some people like it.
Well, true and good. But, you know, I'm glad for them. I'm glad they've got from it something. I envy them, actually. I wish I had. I really wish I could see it from their eyes. I really do.
And the worst thing for me, actually, it's a bit like, it's kind of going a bit to the side. When you watch the ending to a show, The Truth was a good one, actually. The Truth for the X-Files sullied the entire 9 seasons before it when I finally got to watching it. Mm. And I went, I don't know why I've watched this, and I feel a little bit ripped off.
Yeah.
Sitcoms are classic for it.
Mm.
Sitcoms are classic for having, you know, 7 to 10 really good seasons, and then completely totaling the ending, and you're going, well, now, when I start the pilot episode again, I'm going to be thinking about that ending, and you've already ruined the entire show for me.
It's a shame. I just hope that my struggle to corrects this next week. I really hope it's good enough to be able to say if this is it. I'm not so sure it will be. I think we might get another series, given how well this has done and how critically happy, you know, well, critically divided it's been, but how much people have responded to it globally. Yeah. I think Fox will be biting them off to do another series. But if this is the last one, then I want at least to not feel like I did at the end of The Truth, where I was thinking, that wasn't a finale at all. Sorry, that was not a finale.
It's a big ask now, though, isn't it? After a disappointing last week and a terrible this week, it's a big ask for my struggle. And actually, my bigger fear, if they do come back with another season, because ratings were so high, that, you know, certain writers aren't going to get the point that actually some of this was awful.
Mm.
They're going to go, we clearly got away with it.
Mm.
And that worries me more than the really bad ending.
Yeah.
Is more bad seasons.
Yeah, I know. All I'd say to Chris Carter is, if you're going to do parody, leave it to Darren Morgan. Let him write the 6, okay? Right?
Yeah.
Just let him do it, okay? It will be great.
I mean, we knew, didn't we, when we were talking about it, we knew Weir Monster was probably going to be the pinnacle of the season. But did we really think it was going to drop this far afterwards?
Well, no, exactly. I don't think we did. And I think that's the point. I think we'll be borne out by this in the ultimately. I think it will be that Weir Monster was the best one. But we've got to wait and see. Chris Carter, you still have one more chance to turn this round. Okay, yeah. My struggle wasn't bad. It wasn't brilliant, but it wasn't bad.
Right? My struggle was a perfect comeback.
Yeah, it did what it needed to do. Right, you didn't mess up there. Babylon, let's just forget it. Right, you know, this is like the terms of a relationship that's on the rocks. Okay, Chris. Okay, we all make mistakes.
This one never happened.
Yeah, we'll pretend this didn't happen. Okay, and then we'll move on and we'll see what we can do. So
only a couple of days, mate, and we get to find out.
Yes. So we'll see. We'll be back next week for breakdowns of My Struggle 2, our final bit of season 10 coverage before we go back to our traditional programming. And, you know, we've got a few extra bits and bobs coming up for that. Next week, it will be Tanya Hernandez back after coming on for My Struggle to feature on My Struggle 2. So I just want to say a big thank you to you, Andrew, for coming on these last few weeks and sharing this with us.
You're very, very welcome, mate. Thank you for having me on. It's been an absolute blast.
It's been great. It's been really great. Where can we find you then, just quickly on online, so people can go and find you more? You'll be back on the X-Cast soon, but until then.
Yeah, until then, I spend the majority of my time, far more time than I really should, on Twitter. I'm at Brooker411. I do, obviously, I do the XCast review. I do some podcasting with Foul Critics, and I do some writing for Foul Critics as well. So I do a lot of talking out of my ass about films as well as X-Files.
Always good, always good. And do check out Andrew's stuff over there. It's always great. So
thank you.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you very much for coming on. Remember, guys, just keep letting us know your thoughts about the entire miniseries. We've got a few more episodes to go of our Season 10 coverage, and then we will probably do a little bit of a roundup about what we thought about the miniseries as a whole, but we'll see. So keep your fingers crossed for my struggle, and enjoy the finale. And until then, trust no one.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.